We're here to talk with John Heggie from Wachner Law. John, how are you doing here today?
Well, I'm doing great, John. It's great to see you.
How is your wife doing?
Corinne's doing fantastic, as always.
I just love that you two, again, if you don't know, Corinne and John both work in the area of estate planning. They do it together, and that's awesome. You get to work with your wife and go home with her, too, and make dinner and all that.
Yeah, life partners and law partners.
Is that as fun as it seems?
Never without fail.
He was smiling there. That was not a pregnant pause for him to find the correct answer. He was smiling when he said that through and through. No, we appreciate it. Tell Corinne hello, by the way. We will see her again. Let's talk about will versus trust. And, you know, we have this conversation when you come in, and I feel like we dive into something new every single time. And what I'm always left with the impression is that I know a lot of people, when they hear the discussion, oh, we're going to talk about wills or trusts, that doesn't apply to me. Either A, I already have a will, or B, I already have a trust maybe, or C, I'm too young, I don't have to worry about that, or D, I don't own anything.
Right.
What do you say to, I guess it's E, all of the above, everyone should be paying attention to this.
Absolutely. You know, and that's you know, it's almost as if it's an education issue, and I think a lot of people pick things up from media or TV or, you know, other sources and develop ideas based on that. But, you know, each state is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if you were to ask people who have a will, do you feel like it would go to probate? They would say, oh, no, of course not. I've got the will. The lawyer's going to have a reading of the will, which is a TV thing that isn't real.
But you mean they don't gather you all in a circle and have a dramatic reading, or no?
No, that's for television.
Oh, okay.
It's a good, you know, it makes a good scene.
Right.
But, it, you know, in reality, when there's a will, it still goes to probate.
Okay.
It still incurs all those costs.
Let's clarify what probate is for people that don't quite know, or they've maybe seen probate on TV.
Well,
what
true.
Is probate?
So probate's a legal process where a judge would authorize the executor or someone named in a will to go forth and carry out the terms of the will, to make the gifts, to do what the will said to do. But there's, of course, a couple of hang-ups along the way, not the least of which is one of the things you have to do in probate day one is publish a notice in the newspaper that says, hey, this person has passed away. If they owed you money, this is your time to get it.
You're kidding me.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's the first thing to do. And these large credit card companies, large debt collection companies, you know, any of these national outfits have logarithms just patrolling the papers.
Really?
Looking for these notices. And when they get a match, boom, there's a letter that comes to our office right away that says, hey, before you make that gift, we need our $758.
I want to make sure I got this correct. If there's to be a will announced, no matter what, it's published in the paper.
Yeah. Everything in, you know, will or no will that goes to probate is public record.
Okay. And every will goes to probate.
Every will goes to probate in Illinois. So you really don't escape the process unless you do the trust.
That's insane that they have algorithms. I mean, it makes sense. Right. I'm sure they get billions of dollars from that.
Absolutely.
Because it may not only be just credit card companies. You're talking, I don't know, utility. I mean, there's a lot. It's endless.
Yeah. So, you know, right. They, you know, ComEd, whatever utility you might have, even if the debt is bad for them and they write it off, someone buys it for pennies on the dollar. They input it on that system. They wait. And eventually they're going to get their money.
What about healthcare? Does that
trend? No, that's the big one. So if you're somebody was, you know, end of life, needed some help from the state or, you know, through Medicaid or state program, they're first in line to get paid back.
Really?
And they will. So, and it's a terrible tragedy sometimes. You know, a person might have an asset, a small home, a small condo. It might even have a mortgage on it.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever little equity they have in it will go to creditors if they don't have that piece of property into a trust. So, you know, you might think you're leaving something for your children. You know, it doesn't have to be a substantial Rockefeller-esque gift.
Right.
Just something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be last in line to get paid.
Boy, I bet you hear that from a lot of people. Just like, I wish we would have talked to mom and dad a little bit more about this.
Endlessly. Endlessly.
And yes. It's not malicious. I think people just don't know. They're just like, oh, I'll write it down. It's easy. I talk to a lawyer. Boom, bang, got a will. This is simple.
Yeah, very much so. You know, people, you know, our community is not educating the community at large enough. So that's, you know, hopefully we can do a little bit of that
today.
That's
what we're here for. That's yes. Right. John Heggie from Wachner Law. Okay. So let's say the will isn't the route to go if you want to avoid probate, which by everything you're telling me, seems like a scary thing that I don't want to have to go through or to have my loved ones to go through. All right, a trust. That seems, I don't know, is it a little more expensive on the front end to do it? Is it a little bit more cumbersome, or can people navigate it with you pretty easily?
Well, we can navigate it pretty easily, especially when you're talking about people's primary assets or their homes. You know, we can get that home into the trust. We can create the trust, which is kind of an esoteric idea. You know, we put the paper together and all the right legal terms, and then we move that piece of property into the trust, and someone might, you know, move their savings account over, or, you know, 401k or whatever else they might have. So, you know, it's not overly burdensome, and it is, I mean, disproportionately cheaper in the long run to set up a trust. But, you know, and I don't want to talk too bad about people who just do a will either, because there's, you know, at least the will directs where things go.
Right.
If you do nothing, the court's going to decide where it goes. And it might end up going to either a person you didn't want it to or a person it shouldn't go to.
Mm-hmm.
You be they estranged from you, or be they in a situation where if they inherited money, they're going to lose it to creditors, to state aid or something like that.
Right.
So, you know, that can create a problem for someone, not be a benefit.
Right. So, you're right. There are estate planners out there and that probably put together great wills, and maybe they avoid a lot of the hassles you're going through, and that could be a great thing. But seems like it's a little bit more you're in the jungle a bit.
Yeah. So, and the trust takes you completely out of the legal system. The terms of the trust are what dictates, and you get to decide those terms. You know, you can give it to anyone you want. You can give it to any charity you want. You can give it to whatever cause. You can put rules on it. Like, I give this to my grandchildren, but not until they're 25 or until they graduate high school, or as long as they stay out of jail, or you know, whatever the case might be.
And when you pass, that trust goes to a dedicated person, group of people, two people? How does that work?
So, right. A trustee takes over. During your lifetime, you're the trustee of your own trust, and you're the beneficiary. Your life doesn't change much. You can do whatever you want with your assets. There are no rules around it. But when you pass away, that's when the rules that you wrote kick in. And your trustee, who you named, is in charge. And that can be a trusted friend. You know, most of the time it's your spouse. It could be a child if you have an adult child. It could be a lawyer. It could be a trustee service. It could be a bank.
There's a lot of different
places.
So what I imagine someone is thinking, okay, but a will, I've told everything where to go. A trust, so some trustee is going to, I'm going to leave it up to them to make the decisions?
Right. So the will and the trust are similar in that regard, because the trust is going to say where everything goes, and the trustee is legally obligated to follow your wishes.
Okay. So it's not like I'm giving it to this person and they can get power hungry all of a sudden.
Exactly. They have to follow the terms of the trust.
It's interesting, and we get a lot of questions coming in, including, can you, once you have established a trust, buy property in the trust's name? Can you start putting things in that sort of trust to have that already incorporated into the trust you have?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, what you do is you create the trust. And if you imagine like a trust is like a child's wagon that you're pulling around with you, and then you need to put things into that trust. So, yeah, you can put property into that. You can take property out of it. You can put a bank account in, take it out. You don't have to list what's in the trust in the actual paperwork. You just create the trust, and then you fill it with the assets as you go on through life.
Interesting. 312-981-7200. I see the phone lines getting up. We'll get those answers and those questions in line so we can prep John a little bit here so he can get those answers to you. I know it's a complicated thing, and I imagine, John, from a lot of people, they don't like to talk about it because, let's be honest, you're talking about what happens when you're gone. Is that what people are hesitant about sometimes?
I wish I had a 100% clear answer on that, but I'm sure that's part of it.
Yeah. We don't like to grapple with that, right?
It's not a fun topic.
No, it certainly isn't, but it's important for your kids. It's important for everybody else. If someone is leaving or they got a gun out of the car, where can people reach you if they want more information?
So we're at WachnerLawFirm.com or 847-272-7360.
Do the phone number one more time.
847-272-7360.
And that's Wachner, WOCHNER.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. Just wanted to make sure we got that correct. Well, let's continue our conversation here with John Heggie from Wachner Law. And boy, John, we're getting a lot of great questions on the lines. People with stories of, well, my sibling says there's money, or I think that there was supposed to be money in this account. My sibling says, don't worry about it. there's heartbreaking stories of people in disagreements and families, and we can't get to every story, unfortunately. You're going to follow up with all these callers. We gave them your information, or you'll reach out to them. Yep. But I guess overall, this is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. We hear these terrible stories every day, and, you know, my heart goes out to all these people. There are remedies, so we can be able to help most of these people. It's not going to be easy, it's not going to be quick, and it's not going to be cheap. But if you plan ahead, you can avoid these problems. And, you know, you can plan ahead in multiple ways. You know, the trust is by far the easiest and the ultimately the cleanest. But you can designate beneficiaries. You can do a transfer on death instrument for your property.
That's what we had a question. In fact, of the same thing. Can I do a transfer on death? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and those work wonderfully. They have some limitations in that, you know, you can't it's difficult to change later. One of the things about a trust is you can change it at any time. Mm-hmm. You know, these are revocable trusts that a person creates, so they can decide, you know what, I don't want to give the gift here. I do want to give the gift here. My circumstances have changed. I have more than I thought. I have less than I thought. You can make any change at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, some of the other things are a little bit more difficult to change.
For sure. Let's go to the phone lines with Penny. Penny, I think you have like such a interesting question. Like, it's a simple question, but it's a complex one. Thanks for calling, Penny.
Thank you.
Yeah, what are you thinking? What's your question?
Yeah, well, my understanding is I write my will or I write a trust. Why do the courts or does the government have the right to go in and interrupt my wishes on a will, but they don't have that right in a trust?
Right. And we're not talking about interrupting the wishes. It's letting other people have access to it first, John, right?
Well, that's part of the process, right? Yeah. So because, you know, it goes to court, it is open. The people who have a claim on the estate can come in, you know, if there was money owed
right
before the gifts are made.
So, yeah, why the difference between a will and a trust?
Right. So the difference are, you know, basically a will, the concept of wills, it goes back to English common law, to the times of kings and queens, and it's been refined. It is the government oversight on distribution of one's property. A trust is a contract between yourself and your trust. And just like how courts don't intervene in other contracts you might have, you know, even between yourself and your cable company,
mm-hmm.
They're not going to intervene in a trust unless there's a dispute. And then it could go to court. But under how this probate law is written in almost every state, the court oversees anyone's estate who's valued at more than $100,000, even if some of those assets have mortgages.
Okay. So, Penny, it's kind of a quirky thing from
yeah,
kings and queens time.
How come they don't? Yeah, that is. How come they don't see the will as a contract?
I don't know. It just
the probate law itself comes from the legislature, and they don't.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. But yeah, I imagine that like a will, you know, a contract between two people or two entities, a trust is between us, right?
Right.
The will aspect of it, it's something that's passed down from generations and different countries, as you're talking about. It's almost like an agreement with the state
exactly
that they're going to oversee this peaceful transfer of property.
That's the key point. The will is the agreement with the state. The trust is an agreement between private parties.
Are you going to talk about how much it costs to put a trust together?
That's a great question. And I, you know, obviously there's going to be more costs on the front end than me just writing on a piece of paper, I want my kids to have this.
Right.
And it depends on each person, right? But so I don't know if you want to ballpark it or just talk through a little bit about what you're looking at for something like that.
So, you know, if something goes to probate, you can budget in around $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
A single person with a trust, substantially less.
Okay.
Trust. And
like it's different.
Totally. You know, depending on, you know, marital status, types of assets, where things are, you know, it can vary. But most of it comes down to, you know, just how long it takes the attorney to draft that.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit more an investment. And obviously, everyone's in different circumstances. For a couple people, $2,500 may not seem like much. For other people, others. But I don't know. The peace of mind of a trust seems a lot more, it seems worth it to me.
Yeah, and when I say in that $5,000 range for probate, that's assuming things go pretty smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
It can certainly go worse.
We have a question about, you mentioned changing to the trust. Is there charges every time? Do you upcharge people? Or is it, hey, we're going to come to us with what the change is, and whatever time we use, that's what you get charged?
Yeah, most attorneys will just charge time involved with that. You know, I would be wary of someone who wants to start all over and charge the same price again.
Okay.
That's one of the benefits of a trust is you can change it at any time. So if you're just going to change a couple of beneficiaries, like, hey, I don't want to give it to Susan, I want to give it to Sally, that should take 15-20 minutes.
Right.
I mean, that shouldn't be a let's, you know, throw it all out and start over.
And that's why you want a relationship with, well, like yourself or Corinne. I mean, you know your clients.
Right.
You're going to charge them by the hour, the time that you have, which you deserve, but you're not going to restart from the beginning.
Right. And when Corinne and I seceded from Mr. Wachner himself, you know, our firm's been in business for, you know, pushing 50 years, and, you know, we're going to be here for another 50 years beyond. And that, you know, and that can be a problem for people too. If their firm isn't going to be there, as they age, they should get with a firm where it will.
Right. Had a text from Mary, a great listener out of Glenview. She said, please ask John. And I think you did answer it about the 30 days to file a will in Illinois, but about the smaller estates under $100,000 doesn't necessarily go to probate. And you had just mentioned that too. Just want to make sure we're good on that.
That's very true. Illinois has something that the court has preset up called the small estate affidavit, where, you know, you can pass an asset if the total value of the estate is less than $100,000.
If I want to leave money, this is from the 708, to charity, is that something I should put in a will, or can that be handled easily by a trust?
So, you know, that's the choice to make. If you set up the will, you're going to go through probate and you're going to have less of a gift to give.
Okay.
Because it's going to cost more than setting up a trust. But either will get the money to that charity. And you know, sometimes it's more appropriate to do a will in that regard because it doesn't pass as quickly because of the length of the probate process. But, you know, a charity can wait.
Right.
Versus if it's your child or someone like that, they need the money up quickly.
How long can that take, that process?
By law, by statute, it's 6 months minimum. By actual practice, I would think about a year.
Really?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's examples that are past that.
Oh, yeah. Several. You know, we have cases that have been going on well over a year.
Boy, you know, just think if you're like, hey, look, I've built up whatever modest estate in life I have, I want to give it to my kids. The last thing I'm doing is waiting a year and a half to get it. There's medical needs maybe for your kids that need it. And the thought of them having to do it, it's like I'm paying a little bit more on the front end.
Oh, yeah. Those real estate taxes are coming in. That mortgage still's got to get paid. That homeowner's insurance has got to get paid. Yeah, those bills don't stop.
A lot of great questions coming in the 847. If I had started a trust with one lawyer and completed it, can you go to a different one to amend it? So if someone didn't go to Wachner Law Firm, didn't talk to you or Corinne, but they want you to help with the trust moving forward, is that something you can do?
Oh, absolutely. You can change that trust with anyone at any time.
Okay, that's good to know. 847, does a trust have to be filled with an agency? What does executor have to do to have a trust carried out? Do you understand the question there?
Yeah, so I think we got a little mismatch of terms there. So agency generally applies to like a financial power of attorney or a property power of attorney or a healthcare power of attorney. And those apply to someone when they're alive. So you should definitely have those things. The executor applies to a will, but kind of the mirror of that is the trustee. So yeah, when you create a trust, you name yourself trustee generally, and then you have a backup for when, you know, you might pass away, then that person comes in and is legally obligated to follow your wishes that are outlined in that trust.
They also mentioned the 847. I've heard trusts can also have a clause in it stating if there's disagreements by a benefactor, they can be excluded from the trust.
Well, a great benefit of the trust is you can put in whatever you want. And
really?
So you can certainly put that in.
If my son doesn't want to be a Cubs, I don't have a kid, but this is what I would do. If they want to become a Sox fan instead of a Cubs fan, they're out.
That's strong words. But I guess you could give it a try.
I don't know if that's going to be one that ends up in court. And then my kids will be like, why'd you do these stupid rules, John? Well, that'd be something I'd do just to play a prank on them. A lot of great questions coming. If you've got more, 312-981-7200 is the phone line. You mentioned the changing of the trust and all those sorts of things. I guess, you know, as we're wrapping up the segment here, that's what I want to ask. You mentioned power of attorney. Sorry, my train of thought got lost there. I've talked to Corinne about that, too, because your office does work with that stuff, too, right?
Oh, absolutely. The power of attorney for finances and healthcare is our cornerstones of any solid estate plan.
Okay. That's always good to know. Yeah, because you mentioned that. I'm like, well, guess what? Wachner Law does that, too. John and Corinne.
Absolutely.
Great question from the 773. What if the person that is in charge of your trust passes away? Who is the new person in charge of the trust? This person does have a trust, and they're curious about that.
So, right. Obviously, we draft our trust so that it never hits a dead end. So there's always, you can name a backup to the backup. You could name as many backups as you want. And then we always have clauses in there about it, what to do if that happens, which generally would be nominate some sort of corporate trustee.
Okay. So it's a little bit like the British royal crown, that it will, the crown will fall.
That's right.
That it will find its way down to the right, the rightful person.
Yeah, we're all 8,500,000 in line, right?
Yeah, we're all somewhere there in line. Where can people reach you again? I want to make sure we get this down for folks.
So, yeah, we're online at thewachnerlawfirm.com, W-O-C-H-N-E-R, law firm. And, of course, our phone number is 847-272-7360.
847, just texted in. I just use Walker Law. Great folks to work with. I worked with John. I got their name from WGN. That's what we want to do here,
we
John.
Love that. Thank you.
There you go. And it was not Corinne texting, I promise you. I give the number one more time, John.
847-272-7360.
Yeah, it's so important. And look, the final thought. I imagine that some people out there still think, maybe my will is great. Maybe it, right? Like, maybe there are circumstances. People can come to you and you can have that conversation about their specific needs, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're always glad to have a consult. Look over what you have. Most of the time it's going to be in great shape. Some of the times it won't.
Right.
That's what we're here to help with.
But you'll help them with whatever they decide ultimately to do. I mean, you'll advise, absolutely. You know, hey, this might be better for you, but whatever they think they need, you're going to help them out.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that's important because I think people hear us talking about trust. That's the way to go. You're not going to necessarily say that's the only thing you can ever do. You're going to find circumstances that work for them.
Oh, sure. There's always exceptions to that, for sure.
For sure. Hey, 312-981-7200. We've had a lot of phone calls. If you need the number again or the phone number again, we'll give it to you before the end of the show. Maria, let's put her on hold and let's connect her with John after the show with her specific question. I'm John. I'm sure you'd be able to help out all of our callers, right?
Oh, absolutely. We'd be happy to.
All right. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you, John. Great to see you.
I am so much smarter than I was 15 minutes ago. That's always a great sign. Nice work, John.